and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. This is the text. Dear Christian friends, when you're going to back up in your car, you're going to look in the mirror to see what you might run into. That is, unless you have one of those newer cars that has a backup camera, and then you've got a picture right there on your dashboard that is going to show you what's happening and what's about to happen. Once again, in our text, we have a parable of Jesus, which is a picture of what he does for us in his passion. This time a pretty clear and obvious picture of what's happening and what's about to happen to him. This picture is also a mirror, which, like all parables, shows us something about what we are like. But also, like all parables, shows us, if we look closely, a picture of the grace of God. We see how God's servants do not give him his due. We see how God gives us opportunities to avoid disaster. We see how God gives his blessings to the undeserving. Let's think first about how God's servants do not give him their due, his due. He began to speak them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the wine press and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent them another servant. They struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent them another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. As I've mentioned before, some of Jesus' parables were understood only by his disciples, and sometimes then only after explanation, while others were understood also by his enemies. This is one that Jesus told directly to the Jewish leaders. And it's one that they knew very well what it meant, because it was a picture they had seen before. Because it starts out very much like something that the prophet Isaiah had written, saying that God had planted a vineyard and had prepared it. And Isaiah said clearly, this vineyard is a picture of the people of Israel. Now, in Isaiah's parable, the vineyard fails to produce any good grapes, only wild, sour grapes, which causes the owner to say, "What good is this? I'm going to tear it down." That was a way of Isaiah saying, because of Israel's wild disobedience and sour relationship with God, God was going to let them be destroyed. And that happened. Now, in Jesus' parable, the vineyard does produce good fruit. So Jesus is not saying that all the people are wicked. The problem is the tenants, who are in charge and seem to have forgotten that they're only stewards. The vineyard actually belongs to somebody else. It's not theirs to do what they want on their own. They are not giving the owner his due. So, who are these tenants who are in charge of God's people? It is the very leaders Jesus is talking to, of course. And Jesus is saying they are just like the leaders of Israel who mistreated and killed the Old Testament prophets. When they came saying that the people of Israel should give God his due and the honor and worship that he deserved. This is also a mirror in which we can see ourselves. God has made me and all things. He has given me my body, my soul, my reason, my senses, all my members, still preserves them. So, what do I owe him? Well, my thanks, of course. also using everything I have to serve Him and others, not just to please myself, faithful obedience, worship, and praise. Whenever I fail to give God all of those things, I am a debtor. And even if I began to be perfect starting today, I would still only be doing what was expected and due. There's still no way for me to pay off what's past due. And so we desperately need forgiveness. Well, we see that God gives us opportunities to avoid disaster. We read, He has still another, a beloved son. Finally, He sent him to them, saying, They will respect my son. But those tenants said to one another, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. They took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. Those who heard Jesus tell this parable would have been surprised at his exaggerations. He liked to do this sometimes when he told parables. One exaggeration was how wicked these tenants were, killing the messengers. Another exaggeration was how patient the landowner was. Why didn't he take action after the first servant came back empty-handed? He kept giving them another and another and another chance. Another surprising exaggeration is how stupid these tenants are. What makes them think that by killing the son, they are going to get the inheritance? That's not how things work. So, why is Jesus telling these people this story? It's like one of those backup cameras showing us what's getting in the way. He is warning them ahead of time about what they are about to do. You're about to do something very bad and very stupid. Just like he warned Judas and Peter and Pilate before they did the things that they did. Because God lovingly gives us every opportunity to avoid sin and disaster. It's obvious to us in hindsight that this is a picture of what really happened. Exactly what the religious leaders did to God's son, Jesus. He was brutally killed outside the walls of Jerusalem. And so when we look to the cross, there we also see a mirror. Here we see the actual horrible result of our sins, which we may think are so small and so innocent. It is suffering and death. Here we see the unjust suffering that our faults have caused other people. Here we see where we are headed if we do not stop and repent. We deserve shame. We deserve separation from God. We deserve horrible death. But also, because Jesus died in our place, saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. We also see the amazing patience of God. In His promise of paradise to the repentant thief, we see God's persistence in trying to turn us away from sin, right up to the last minute. And so we see how God gives His blessings even to the undeserving. Jesus says, What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. What would the owner of a vineyard do in this situation? Well, you might have guessed that he would give up and get out of the vineyard business. But he doesn't. Instead, he turns right around and he gives the vineyard to others who start fresh with no debts. And who do you suppose these others would be? I expect these Jewish leaders who heard him tell this parable knew. The Gentiles. That's right. And that includes you and me. Although we are no more deserving than those before us, God gives us a place in the vineyard of His church. A place for us to live and to grow. To mix the metaphor slightly, He grafts us into Jesus, the true branch, from which others have been cut off for unfruitfulness, so that we can draw life from Him and be fruitful. Jesus concludes, this was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. We are debtors who have failed to do what we should do, but Jesus has done, the Lord has done everything that needs to be done so that we can be saved. This was God's plan all along. He knew that Jesus would be a stone that was thrown out while he took all of our sins along with him, and he planned his whole kingdom with Jesus as the cornerstone. Everything depends on what he did and what he endured in our place so that our debts can be forgiven. As we look at the picture of this parable, we see a reflection of ourselves. God's servants who do not give him his due. But we also see a picture of God's astonishing patience as God gives us every opportunity to avoid disaster. And we see a picture of Jesus, God's own dear Son, who dies for us as the cornerstone of God's plan because God gives his blessing to the undeserving. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.